Coming up on TMS, blow that someplace else.
The other Kirkman meet.
Cancel a wedding, feed a community.
I don't like bone shards.
12 feet and not clean on the other side.
It's 4:30, time for shooting.
Well done. I was so worried you weren't going to get the reference. Making things with Bill.
Jury duty and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
There goes another one. Turned down by the army. Turned down by business. Turned down by the girls. Can't get to first base. A failure in the army, in business, in romance. Reason? Bad teeth.
Now with 100% more Dermot McGronley and Don Cheeto. This is The Morning Stream.
Hello. You're really rocking over there. I like
it. There's something about that version that just makes me want to dance. Yeah. Flail about.
It's pretty good. Well done.
Semi-rhythmically.
Well done, Eric Van Skyhawk, with your fine rendition of the theme. And welcome to the show, everybody. TMS for July 18th, 2017.
I'm 1 year and a day older today.
There we go. See, now you're thinking about the right way. It's not just, you didn't just gain a year yesterday. You gained a day yesterday. That day just happened to be the anniversary of your first day.
That is correct. And we had
of your name day.
We had tri-tip steak on the grill last night. So I'm very happy about how that turned out. And, yum. I don't know if you know this, but now when we grill, Nick does all the grilling.
Really?
Yep. He does it
all. Raising that boy right.
He's good at it. Like, he's actually better at it than I think we are, so he does just a better job, and yeah. I'm terrible at it. I'm like, well, it's like a throbbing piece of red gristle, purple blood in the middle, and the outside maybe is cooked. I don't know. Like, that's kind of my whole thing, but he goes out there and does it right, so we love it.
Super cool. All right, so you know how I've got the webcam pointing in front of my house, the security cam.
Yeah, what do you got now?
Two police cars just pulled up in front of the house.
Of your house?
Of my house. I love the fact that I can pan on my camera.
Maybe you got somebody's...
Somebody swatted me.
Swatted you. Did you get swatted?
No, don't think I got swatted. So there's one, it looks like they may be pulling up either across the street. So the first cop has gotten out. He's walking over to the second cop's car. And these are like cruisers, police cruisers, not, like police SUVs.
Yeah.
He's over talking in the window of the other one. But the first one pulled in quickly and stopped and got out of the car.
And is anyone heading your direction, or are they all just talking?
No, they're still in the middle of the street talking. They are, when I say in front of my house, they are the butt end of their police cars are on the right side, the far right side of my driveway.
Okay.
So it could be either Russian neighbor.
Oh, how about this? You think this is the place? Yes, Officer Billingsley, I do. He's a big fella. He's tall. So we need to plan ahead.
We're going to need to put him in the back. So let's actually back of our police cars to the driveway.
That's right. Bring two tasers with you. And what else? We understand his new Mac may be packed with cocaine from Colombia. I want this all to pan out to them ringing your doorbell.
I want to see something happen here. So I'm going to keep that screen up on my window over there, but I'll just keep an eye on it. Interesting. All right.
I wish we could share that window. I want to see so bad how this is going to go down.
I know. Wonder. Yeah, I can't think of any way I can do it.
I mean, worst case is what? Bing bong. You go to the door. They answer it. And you say, you got the wrong place or whatever, right?
Like, it's exactly.
Brian's not hiding anything.
No, I got nothing to hide.
He lives in a state with legal pot, and he doesn't even have that.
Exactly. I don't even break the rules that I'm allowed to break.
Right. All right. Well, let's keep an eye on it. We'll see how it goes.
Keep an eye on that. It looks information as it develops.
Are they sexy cops? Because maybe it's like one of those deals.
Oh, sure. I don't think you could drive in a police car if you're like a singing telegram.
They don't. Yeah, that's probably true.
Strippergram.
They shut up and go, you have the right to get sexy. Anyway, we'll see how that goes for you. Let me know as we go along here. All right, I got another pool story for you. This is a good one.
All right, good.
The kids yesterday afternoon said, "Dad, we're kidnapping you." I said, "What?" And they go, "Yeah, we're taking you away for your birthday." And I said, "Well, I have a show. I have Hotline Monday." And they said, "It doesn't matter. It's your birthday. Cancel it. There's no sponsors on that show." I said, "Well, you're right." And they said, "Just cancel it." So I did. I called Jerry. Jerry's like, "Oh, go with the kids. That's way better. We'll punt this week." I said, "Okay, great." So I went with my children. And it turned out it was a pretty simple thing. It was just snow cones and swimming, because that's something they love to do.
Aww,
so we cool. went to this pool, and it's the same pool I told you about last time with the kid who peed, and I could feel it.
Right, the warmth, the yeah. sudden warmth.
Yeah. And so we're in there, we're in this pool, and it's pretty full, and there's a lot going on. It's hot, and it's kind of also overcast, so it's kind of perfect weather for this. So we're not dying in the sun, but it's also still pretty hot. And a handicapped guy of probably 22, 23 or so is swimming in the pool. Great, no mm-hmm. problem. That's awesome. Sure. Happy to see him in there. However, at one point, as I'm in the pool, sort of just chilling on the edge of the pool with Kim talking.
Yeah.
This guy surfaces like a freaking Russian sub. And right up. we must point the guns. No, that's German. Anyway. So he comes up out of the water. You know what it reminded me of? It was almost slow motion, and it reminded me of, you know when what's his name turns into like a jellyfish monster in the first X-Men movie?
Yes, right. The governor or whatever he is.
Senator, whatever.
Senator, right. Senator.
Yeah, that guy, that actor. Anyway, rises out of the water.
Like he did right before he walked by Stanley's hot dog stand.
Yeah, he did. You're right.
Yes, yeah.
And I didn't expect it because it's very close proximity. Rises out of the water, then proceeds. And again, he is obviously handicapped. Okay. And it's, I can tell it's, you know, probably Down syndrome or something. I don't know what. I'm no expert, but I could tell. And sure. that made it more awkward because there's no way I'm going to chew this person out.
Okay.
Because I can tell that we have somebody who's, you know, yeah. on a different level than me.
So this isn't your friend's pool that you've gone to before.
No. This is a public pool. This is out. Okay. Oh, that's right. Wow. The pee kid happened in the friend's pool.
Yeah.
I've got them conflated.
Scott goes to a public pool?
Yeah, I did once in a while.
You're getting lax in your old age, man.
Once in a while, I'll get in there. That's fine.
Ooh, cops walking.
Oh.
Cops walking. Update. Oh, wow. He left his door open. He was in such a hurry to go talk to the other cop that he left his door open. I just realized that.
Oh, my gosh.
He just got back in his SUV, and he's driving off.
Oh, my. Okay. So there. It's a cop SUV?
Yeah, there's two cop SUVs. They're like, yeah, we don't have police cars in Arvada. We have, like, police, not station wagons. I mean, it's almost like a, maybe like a Subaru, oh, God, like a Subaru Outback. I don't know. It's not like that. I mean, if it's a little bit taller than that.
Yeah.
All right. One of them drove off. The other one that stopped in the middle of the street is still in the middle of the street, though.
Okay.
Aha. Uh-huh, yeah. Looks like the cops.
Okay.
All right, nothing. Okay, I'm all sorry. Right. I'll let you keep going. Where I left off though was chiding you for going
blow
into
your
a.
Pants, cop.
What the hell is this?
Blow it out your pants, cop.
Oh, blow it out your pants, cop.
Blow it out your pants, cop.
I have a few cops.
I think
any,
that's Dragnet.
Chance of a freeway?
Oh yeah, I may have been Dragnet.
It was Emil Muzz.
Yeah.
What could a young cop like you want with an old fossil like me?
It's a great question. Anyway.
There you go. Yes, there we go. Escalade. He was an Escalade. Anyway, go ahead. Please continue.
All right, so I'm in the pool. Guy rises up, clearly handicapped. I'm not going to say anything, even if he's, you know, something bad happens. Well, something bad happened. Uh-huh. He pulls up, looking right at me, takes his right hand knuckle.
Yeah.
Plugs his right nostril with his knuckle.
Oh, I can see what's coming.
And then within, seriously, like 3 feet of me, blows a huge farmer blow out of that left nostril right into the pool.
And the rocket's red glare.
Yeah, totally. Right there, just evacuated his freaking sinus right there in the pool. And all I could do was go, yee, kind of back up, you know? And I'm like, if this was some just, you know, let's say it's some 17-year-old douche kid or something, I would have said, whoa, easy there, chief. What are you? But I'm not going to do that because this is somebody who's, you know, I don't know enough about him. Obviously, he's in some, you know, different, he's on, like I said, he's on a different level.
Listen, you don't have to defend not wanting to be in a pool with snot. We know it's not, we know you don't think you're going to catch Down syndrome from snot in a pool.
No, I'm not getting that. It's just boogers from anyone. So I backed up very slowly, or as fast, slow as I could, to not make too big of a whoop about it. Yeah. I did one of those, what do you call it when you do push-ups backwards, like you're pushing up with your triceps or the ones that are doing all the work, whatever that is. I came to the edge.
Backstroke?
No, it's like I got up to the edge of the pool, grabbed the cement.
Oh, gotcha, okay.
And I'm not really used to working out that part of me. So it really hurt. So I was just like,
oh, please tell me like an awkward getting out of the pool.
Oh, totally.
Visual.
Totally. Nice. It wasn't good. I know I didn't look good. I'm already fatter than I want to be, you know, like I'm already in a bad place. So I get out of there, and I would not go back in the pool after that. I mean, are you kidding me? There's no way. Guy horked freaking a nose full of goo into the pool, and it was disgusting. So that's that. Watch out, everybody. Public pools. They're out to get you.
And you were done with the pool. Had you been in there a while? Like, did you get your money at least out of your pool trip? Or was it like,
Yeah.
Oh, totally. It's going to be such a great day. Let me get my foot in the pool. And, oh, water's kind of refreshing. All right, I'm going to get in. Oh, snot. All right, bye-bye.
Boogers. I'm out. No, I got a bunch of time in there before he surfaced. I mean, who knows how many other times this has been going on. I don't know. But he may have been blowing it in there all night. But it was fine. And it's a community pool, so our HOA covers it. So it didn't even cost anything. Wow. So it was fine. All right.
Okay.
I got home. We had a barbecue. That was fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I couldn't sleep. Aww. So I stayed up and I watched a few episodes of that other Robert Kirkman show. That no one knows about.
The one that does not contain the words walking or dead in the title.
No zombies at all in it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Called Outcast, based on his successful comic, Outcast.
I don't even know this.
Yeah, he's got a comic called Outcast. So it's about possession and demonic possession and stuff. He once said in an interview that zombies never scare him, but possession always has. And so like this is what scares him.
Oh, wow.
So anyway. I'm going to recommend this show, even though it's not Wednesday in Recommendals. I'm going to recommend people watch Outcast if you get a chance. I want to say it's on Stars, is it?
It's Cinemax. You can watch it on Cinemax Go, or you can buy the season on Amazon or iTunes or wherever.
Yeah, and that's where I got it, was Amazon.
Okay.
I guess Cinemax. That's interesting. It's the least Cinemax stereotype show, though, I can think of. Because
there's not nudity?
No, none that I've seen.
Oh, but there's Brent Spiner, apparently.
Brent Spiner is absolutely in this, and he is creepy as shit.
Really?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. He's something else. And that's not a spoiler, because right away you know what's up with him.
Yeah.
But the and it kind of takes you off guard, because you forget Brent Spiner's in his 60s, and he shows up, and you're just like, who is that? Who is that? Who is that? Oh, it's Data. Freaking Data's in this. Anyway, it's good and it's interesting, and if you like that kind of stuff, kind of conjuring, haunted, kind of that side of horror, whatever, it's super interesting. The characters are kind of cool. I think it's like this is Kirk. It's clearly Kirkman's other thing that he gets to have full control over. Like AMC controls a lot of what happens with Walking Dead.
Yeah,
because you know that was his first thing, and you sign off a lot of that stuff. This is clearly like. Straight up his project.
He's earned his ability to kind of have creative control.
Yeah, you never get the sense that somebody else is pulling the strings. So,
it'll have to tide us over until we get that Invincible TV show that we want so much.
Right? Wasn't there some talk of that or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know what's. It was announced, but I don't know what's happening with that. But
maybe it worked out in his favor to hold off on that one. Let Walking Dead be, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it was a couple of weeks ago we talked about it with Steven, it seems like.
Yeah, the Schleicher we did. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, check it out. It's called Outcast. It's interesting. If you don't like that stuff, it's pretty freaky. There's some freaky.
Rate it scary level, like...
There are moments where I would put it... I'd put it, like, in a scale 1 to 10, I'd put it in, like, the 7 range. It's not anything too crazy. Mm-hmm. They, of course, have a little more freedom to do the swears and stuff, but it's not Cinemax... It's not typical Cinemax.
Right.
In fact, as far as I'm concerned, Stars is the new Cinemax. Because Stars is like all out.
Well, with your American Gods boning.
Yeah.
Then. Okay, so it's Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg are adapting Invincible for a movie.
Oh, all right. So I'd be down with that.
That's what is going on.
Now, that I have hope. How do I put this? I have high hopes for that, given their success with Preacher. Preacher is amazing. Yes.
Yeah, Seth Rogen doing good with the comic adaptations. So yeah. we're on board.
And I will say this. If you like Preacher, this is totally up your alley, because it's kind of got a similar vibe. It's even got the whole religion part of it, you know.
Oh, really? Okay, cool. You know, by the way,
yeah,
we're talking about movies here. Well, TV shows and movies. I don't know if you've been seeing the reviews for Dunkirk, but holy crap, people are saying best Christopher Nolan film. Entertainment Weekly says Dunkirk is the best film of the summer.
Whoa. Really?
Yes.
War for
and
the Planet.
And we own it, Scott.
War for the Planet of the Apes says what? Oh, you're right. Look at that. 98%. Jeez. Yeah. Okay, because I had read a couple of friends I follow on the internet who really disliked it, but that could just be single, whatever.
Well, what do they know?
Sensational.
What movie draft team are they backing?
No kidding. So does it, I mean, is the title give away the ending where Kirk is done? Is that the deal?
I'm done, Spock.
I'm done. I'm out.
I'm out. No more.
No more.
You've sabotaged my ability to come back.
Sabotage. Christopher Nolan has created the most intense, immersive war story since Saving Private Ryan, says one reviewer. Another says sensational in every sense of the world. It aims for both the heart and the head, to be sure.
Ow.
But arrives there via the central nervous system. Okay.
Jeez. Was that a review found in the American Journal of Medicine?
Yeah, no kidding. That's what it sounded like. How about this one? It deserves to be seen and argued about. They don't make them like this anymore. Never did, really. Wow.
Wow. Jeez.
Magnificent movie of staid heroism, utterly opulent in its bleakness. Dunkirk's gripping story of survival told through cutting-edge camera work and bare-bones storytelling. Christopher Nolan has delivered a classic war film. Well, all right, then. I'll bet we haven't heard the end of Dunkirk, then.
No, guess not.
All right.
Cool.
Well, we're not
When's
done.
It out? When's it out? 2 weeks?
This weekend.
Or this Friday. This Friday. Nice.
21st, yep. And you get Valerian this Friday as well.
Oh, geez.
Which is also...
All right, see, I'm behind. I need to still see the Apes.
Yeah, you got to see that Apes.
See the Apes, and I need to see Dunkirk, and I want to see Valerian before people say, what are you doing wasting your money on Valerian?
Yeah, no kidding. Look at these 90s in the top 10 right now at the box office. War for the Planet of the Apes, 95%. Spider-Man Homecoming, 92. Mm-hmm. Despicable Me 3 at third place with 61. That's a weird one. But then you go back to 95% for Baby Driver, 97 for The Big Sick, and 92 for Wonder Woman. Well done, guys. Well done.
Nice.
Anyway, Dunkirk, Valerian, Girls Trip, Landmine, and The Fencer all come out on the 21st, and all of them are north of 70%. So,
jeez.
Good time to be a movie fan, I suppose.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Kirkman, Outcast, watch it.
What else?
Quick mention. I want to just thank Sonny, or maybe it's Sony. Mm-hmm. It must be Sonny, right? Mm-hmm. Sonny, must be. At woodworkandlemonade.etsy.com. He sent me, did you get these two? Wooden spinners. So it says,
they're just spinners made out of wood is what I'm going to guess.
It's entirely made out of wood, except for the weighted bit on the ends in the middle. Because you can't just put wood there, right?
Right.
Although I'm sure somebody's tried, if you know what I'm saying. they're really cool, and I just want to give them a shout out. They're awesome. It's woodworkandlemonade.etsy.com.
And do they spell the lemonade A-I-D like that?
A-I-D.
Okay.
Lemon A-I-D. Yeah.
Lemon A-I-D.
Lemonade or limonade. they're super
okay.
Yeah, they're super cool. So just hats off to that guy. And then additional hats off to barbecue this guy who sent us both the Dr. Pepper, the barbecue sauce recipe thing.
Yes, yes.
We finally did that.
I shared with the tadpole.
It's so good.
Really?
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. Nick did it again. Once again, Nick out there flipping.
He did the chicken, like the barbecue chicken, or he did the sauce?
We did the sauce, and we used it on pork medallions, which I guess come from which part of the pig? I don't know. Where do you get
the wallet, I believe.
From the wallet? The pig wallet?
From the coin purse.
I have a weird cough this morning, and every time I laugh, it makes me cough. Yeah, it was so good. I can't recommend it enough. It's the Dr. Pepper thing, and I know there's lots of those online, but this one was special. So if people don't know what that is, I could probably share it out on Twitter or something. if you haven't heard of it before. I know the Tadpool got it in the Facebook group and stuff, but we'll spread. Yeah,
join the Tadpool Facebook group if you want the recipe. It's right there. So there's incentive right now to go join the deal.
Who'd you go to dinner with yesterday? This sounds like fun.
Yeah, I went to dinner with a listener named Robert last night, who's in town working on printers himself. Not 3D printers, unfortunately, but regular printers. Mm. And met up, had a delightful dinner in Golden, and chatted about stuff. He's loving the show, of course. And he told me about a couple other podcasts that I need to check out. One of them is called Last Podcast on the Left, and apparently it's like three guys talking about subjects like serial killers and things like that, but doing it in a funny way. So I can't wait to hear that. And then one that I started listening to this morning, and even in the first 3 minutes, I was laughing my head off, called My Dad Wrote a Porno. And it's three people in the UK. I think they're BBC. I think they're BBC announcers. And one of them found some erotic fiction that their dad wrote. Okay. And had no idea that his dad wrote this.
All right.
And the podcast is them reading a chapter of it at a time and laughing their heads off as they read through it.
Okay. You got me there. That sounds
all
right.
I'm 3 minutes in and I was already just laughing like crazy.
Okay.
It's really, really good.
Well, podcasting's back, so let's do
it. It is back, so I can't wait to not be caught up on. I have two new podcasts that I won't be able to keep up with. So yeah, great.
Exactly. Well, anyway, that's great. And Rob, if you're ever in Salt Lake City, hit me up and we'll have a similar thing in place.
He was there last week, but you had a lot of family stuff.
Oh, is that Rob? So, Rob? Oh,
that's Rob. Robert, yeah. Robert F.
That's right. I couldn't last week.
Yeah, he said that you guys tried to make it work, but with all the family stuff you got going on.
I have
totally,
two people asked me for this weekend, and I'm camping this weekend, so I'm not going to be here for that.
Yeah.
And then somebody else asked me for the following weekend, and I'm off to my other family's reunion.
I know,
next week.
I know. But you know what? Love seeing people, though. You know, if you're in town and it works out, love to hook up with y'all.
Yeah.
Especially if you know how to fix 3D printers. So yesterday I sent you a text. So the wire chain arrived, the replacement wire chain arrived. Now, let me tell you about what's involved with replacing a wire chain.
Yeah.
Because basically you have to take out just about everything that works out of your 3D printer to make this, to install this thing. Cause it's about, 3 feet of wire, and two chains of it, you know, a little segment of, wire chain, and then a segment where there's no wire chain, then another segment of wire chain. So it can move on another axis, and then like a foot remaining of wire just going straight down.
Yeah.
And all that has to go into this printed circuit board that has spots for all of it. The thing is like spaghetti wire going everywhere.
So I'm showing the chat room right now so they can see the picture you sent me.
Photo I sent.
It looks like a nightmare. I wouldn't know what to do with this.
Total like, all right, I have to take... Basically, I was Indiana Jones at the beginning of Raiders of the Lost Ark. I would have, in one hand, I'd have the new wire that was going to replace the old one.
Yeah.
In the other hand, I was pulling the other wire out so that I could immediately go, pulling that out, that one goes right where it was. As quickly as possible. So I didn't like lose it. It's really, really dusty. Like the inside of this thing, I had to, after I sent that photo, I'm like, well, I got to blow all this dust out and vacuum.
Well, they're devices that run for like 30 hours straight. It's not shocking to me that they collect particulates and dust and all sorts of stuff. In fact, I imagine that stuff's terrible. You should probably blow that out more often.
I should. Well, but the problem is I have to take that piece is completely enclosed in sheet metal.
Yeah.
So to get in there and do this, I had to take out two other parts that were blocking that and then remove this one. And that's when I saw the dusty old board.
Yeah.
But, I know it's not something I want to do on the regular, but there's no.
So how is it working now?
Well, let me tell you, Scott, 3.5 hours of working on this thing.
Yeah.
I'm
guessing not.
I turn it on. Yeah. Lights come on. I'm like, all right, did that okay?
Yeah.
I fire up the thing to just do the jog. And I haven't put all the pieces back in. Like, I still have access to the board because there's two control connections that are identical. One moves the extruder motor. The other one moves the X-axis motor.
Okay.
And so I wanted to leave everything open so that I could swap those if I got them backwards. Fired up, did the X-axis. Oh, my God, the X-axis moves. It moves back and forth. Very good. Oh, let's try the Y-axis. Oh, my God, the Y-axis moves too. All right, let's try the extruder because this was the part that didn't work.
Yeah.
Oh. Now, here's the thing, though. Having all this off, I was able to do a lot more troubleshooting for the folks in Spain, so that when I sent up the smoke signal last night that they'll receive,
yeah,
I was able to tell them a lot of information. So I was able to take the wires from the old wire chain, connect up the X-axis to the X-axis port on the board, try moving it, it moves. So I know that that wire is good. Then I try and do the same thing with the extruder, it doesn't move. Mm-hmm. And if I plug in the extruder motor to the X-axis port on the board, I can move the extruder with the X-axis knob. So that means that the motor is fine on the extruder. This is like really exciting. Some people just drove off the road because this is such riveting information I'm sharing.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
But I've tested the cable. Cable is fine. I know that the wires are working because it moves the extruder. The motor's fine because I can move the motor when I hook it up to the X-axis. So I've identified that the problem is squarely in the motherboard.
Right. really?
Or in the software or something. But yeah, there's something in that circuit board that is not moving, that's probably not sending a signal to move the motherboard, and I don't know what it is. So I've given them all that information, sent up the smoke signal last night. Usually they respond to me first thing in the morning, like at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Sure.
I did not get a response this morning.
Oh, so no.
I don't know if, you know, they thought they were done with me, and now the person I talked to has hung themselves from a from a churro in their office or something, but those aren't from Spain, I know. But anyway.
Wait, what is from Spain? Do they have burritos and things, tacos?
They have flan. I know they have flan.
Yeah, flan's a thing, sure.
I think gazpacho is Spanish, not Mexican.
Yeah. I wonder if, the taco. What's our origin, folks? Get back to us.
The taco is purely Mexico.
Is it? All right.
Yeah.
Well done, Mexico. Well done.
Anyway, so hopefully I hear tomorrow, but the long national nightmare, I'm afraid, of the 3D printer is still not over. However, yeah. I feel like we've turned a corner.
All right. Quick cop check. Are they out there still or gone?
No, they drove off. They actually got bored with my story, and the second cop drove off.
Yeah, I assume they were listening that whole time. They had, like, directional
microphone.
Sure,
they were. They're like, oh, let's leave this guy alone. Yeah. He's got bigger problems.
We have bigger crimes to solve. that's funny. All right. Final note before the news. So I ran a little contest yesterday, and I want people to know about it. This is a good place to tell people about it if you didn't see it on Twitter or wherever else I posted it. Basically, I have this combination of items from Nerdtacular 2017. The prominent one being the actual DVD that I watched and cut apart to make clips for the live film sack of The Last Dragon.
Nice.
And
show enough you do.
Sorry,
Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon.
Nice. So I have a signed version of that, plus a bunch of prints and stickers, and two Heroes of the Storm scratch-off cards with free skins and free heroes on them. You can see the entire thing in photo form. It's all piled up there in this image over at frogpants.com/contest. And it's random and easy. All you got to do is give me your name and your email, and I will pick them in a couple of days and send this package off to you guys. It's nice. Sitting right over here. It's super rad. And this is where a lot of contests are going to be from now on at frogpants.com/contest. Oh, cool. Just go fill it out. And you could win the FilmSack N17 Memory Pack.
Just when you thought it was, we were done giving away copies of The Last Dragon.
Yep, there's one more. Actually, we probably have more than one more, don't we?
I still have one. The one that I watched, too, that I'll happily
part with. You're done with it? You've had all you can have with that movie. I mean, what else are you going to do? Anyway, check that out. Do it now. Here's the news. Oh, look, it's the news brought to you by
The Core Podcast, live tonight at 7 p.m. right here at frogpants.tv.
That is correct. Myself and Bo and John will have a brand new episode tonight. There's a lot of rumors this morning that the newest hero will be announced in China.
Oh.
And so we all think, okay, what Chinese-related sort of, you know, character are we going to get? Because that's usually how they do this. We've already got Chen Stormstout and Li Ming and some of these characters who are of Chinese origin. Mm-hmm. So who could it be? And my answer in the immortal words of NSYNC is, it's gotta be May. It's gonna be May from Overwatch if my bet is correct. That's my thinking.
So that's cool.
We shall see. We shall see. Let's dive into the headlines here. We got this one here about I don't know how much your wedding was. I know how much mine was. It wasn't $30,000, but if your wedding costs that much, maybe you'll like this story. A canceled $30,000 wedding instead became a dinner for homeless people.
Oh, that's cool.
Nice. Isn't that nice?
That's super nice.
Yeah. Not since Mike Pence left his great state of Indiana have we heard such a nice story about Indiana.
Except for the cake left out in the rain, all the sweet green icing flowing down.
Oh, isn't it ironic?
It is ironic.
Canceled $30K wedding. It's crazy. An Indiana woman didn't want her canceled $30K wedding to go to waste, so she threw a party for the homeless. A bus pulled up to the Swanky Event Center on Saturday that Sarah Cummings had booked for the reception in Carmel, a suburb of North Indianapolis.
Okay.
About a dozen veterans from a local organization were among the guests who dined on bourbon glazed meatballs, roasted garlic bruschetta, and wedding cake. It's fancy, huh?
That was really fancy. Do you think at any point, like, they took their forks and went ding, 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 like, on their glasses?
I don't know. I kind of want to be a fly on the wall, this thing, but...
I do want to know. Oh, there we were about to find out about the wedding.
Yeah, so here's how it went down. She told the Indianapolis Star that she and her fiancé, you've got to meet my fiancé, called off the wedding a week ago. She declined to give a reason, but said they were left with a non-refundable contract with the Ritz-Carlton in Carmel and a plated dinner for 170 guests. Says that she decided that rather than throw away the food, she would bring some purpose to the event and contacted area homeless shelters. She cheerfully greeted and welcomed her guests when they arrived to attend the Saturday party.
That's super cool.
Yeah. I mean, if it was all going to go to waste anyway, what a great idea.
Yeah, and obviously in that relationship, I don't know, again, we don't know what happened between her and her fiancé, but she's most certainly the better person.
Oh, I agree.
By doing this.
I'm just going to assume the guy's a douche because I can't help it. I think that's just the way this went down.
Yes.
Exactly. Boy, these stripes
You think they like adjusted the name cards to have
homeless
people's names? Oh, let's see. Well, we can't put Smokey Joe right next to...
Yeah, we can't have Clamps sitting next to, Tennessee Terry. Yeah. To me, they're all hobos on a train.
Right, of course. Yeah, exactly. The Kochek now is taking their sticks with handkerchiefs wrapped around the end containing all their valuables.
What's that called? Like a spindle, a bundle,
spundle? Something like that. A
grundle?
Bindle. A bindle.
Bindle.
Yes. Halfway between spindle and bundle is the bindle.
It's definitely not a grundle, like I was saying. Hot dogs are in the news as well. Let's talk about some more food.
I gotta give points to Rillian. Scott's shirt makes me really want Whataburger.
Yeah, that's exactly it totally does. I'm gonna change. I'm not gonna wear this all day. I've decided. Someone gave me this shirt, and I thought, I never wear it. I should probably wear it. Now I regret it.
Oh, dude, I like it. You need to keep it on. It's just, it's funny not seeing you in a t-shirt.
I feel like I should be giving up, I don't know, I should be dishing up ice cream for kids.
Right, handing out good humor.
Yeah, it's terrible. Anyway, 7 pounds of hot dogs recalled because no one wants to eat bone shards.
Oh, well, was there a poll? They never asked me.
They didn't ask you. The necromancer in Diablo might be interested. Before your next cookout, you may want to check that pack of Franks in the fridge. It's a great sitcom from the 80s. I miss it.
Franks in the fridge.
Franks in the fridge. It was really good. A New York company is recalling more than 7 million pounds. That's a lot of meat, if you want to call it that, of hot dog products. After somebody reported getting a bite of a bone in their wiener.
Oh, come on, consumerist.
Ooh.
This is awfully huffpo for the consumerist.com.
I agree. Marathon Enterprises out of Bronx, New York is recalling 7.1 million pounds worth of the beef and pork, hot dogs, and sausage items that may be contaminated with extraneous materials. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Food Safety and Inspection Service, the items were produced between March 17, 27 and July of this same year. FSIS officials were tipped off by complaints that came through the agency's consumer complaint monitoring system on July 10th from people who said there were things in their wieners that should not be, specifically pieces of bone. Thus far, there have only there's only one reported minor oral injury. Minor oral injury. Oral.
Yeah, just bone. You know, I just have a bit of bone sticking out of the gum in the roof of my mouth. It's minor.
It's fine. It almost went down my throat and killed me. It's fine. It's fine. Yeah. Almost lacerated my entire intestinal tract. Associated with eating these hot dogs. To that end, if you have any of these products involved in the recall, do not eat them. Throw them in the garbage or return them to their place of purchase. Several brands are affected, including Sabret Western Beef. That was my nickname in high school.
Western Beef.
Stu Leonard, Papaya King. It didn't look right. You know what it made me think of? It was papier-mâché from Seinfeld. And I couldn't get it out of my head. Nathan's right. Private Label. Ooh. And Katz Delicatessen. Both Nathan's and Katz are big names. So.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, Nathan's, that's a tough one to have to suffer some bad meat, right? Because it's going to totally change the hot dog eating contest, too.
No kidding. oh no!
I'm not sure if I want to eat this. Can I do one? Right now the winner is one.
Yeah, yeah. The record for how many bone sharded hot dogs you can eat is one. So I feel like today's news stories are like a play in four acts, in a way.
Okay. All right. So we had the wedding.
We got the wedding. Then we got bad hot dogs with bones in it. Now we have a bursted water main sends 12-foot high tsunami of human waste through couple's front door. So this is stage three.
Okay. Oh, God.
Several homes were destroyed when a tsunami of sewage and water, doesn't matter. Oh. You don't have to tell me there's water in there. I know.
Yeah. Whatever. Oh, and water. Oh, gosh. Not water.
Eek! Water!
Exactly.
It flowed through front door homes or through homes as water mains apparently burst open. Adrian Ryan was said he opened the front door of his home in Bengal Terrace at 2:30 a.m. this morning, and he was driven back by 12 feet of a river of human waste.
Now I don't. There's an important part of this, Scott, that I don't want you to gloss over. That what's the town that this took place in?
Limerick City.
Right. There once was a tsunami of shit.
Nobody knew what caused it. It flowed through the
it
front.
Washed away my daughter because it also contained water. But that's not the worst of it.
I don't think we can use it twice, but it's fine.
Oh, you used it. Okay.
I'm gonna allow it. 12 feet of this stuff. This is so gross. Residents along the street woke to sounds of gushing water. 3-foot-high deluge flowed around their homes. Mr. Ryan, who was able or first raised the alarm, ran to the door, alerting his neighbors to keep their doors closed. Speaking at the swamped home, he said, "When I opened my front door, it hit me so hard it drove me through the whole length of the hallway. It was like a tsunami." I'm not sure he knows what a tsunami is, but tsunami would probably kill you. So
yeah, no kidding.
His wife, God. Jackie, standing in her destroyed kitchen, said, "We're devastated at the minute. Just shocked.
We're devastated at the minute. There's so much shit and water in the house, we don't know what to do. Oh, right now, for this 60 seconds, we're quite devastated.
Yeah, it's only during now, though. Give us a minute.
Did we mention the water?
Yeah, give us a minute. We'll be fine.
So what happened? So this guy, Adrian Ryan,
yeah,
was running door to door, alerting the neighbors to keep their doors closed?
Yeah, don't open your door.
After this happened or before this happened?
After his door gushed through. And he got pushed down the hall.
I imagine they open the door, see him.
Yeah.
People keep their doors closed.
Yeah.
I think that's the first thing they're going to do. Oh, my God, this guy's covered with waste.
Yeah, but here's how I pictured every door. Like, no, we don't open that. Oh, okay. Next house. Oh, no, but, because they open the door. That's how they talk to you, right. They open the door.
Well, but he's not, if he's standing in a 12-foot tsunami, he's not going to be able to knock on the door that clearly.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
Don't open the door. Whatever you do.
You do a good underwater guy.
There's good. Water.
I love it. Let's see.
All right, let's our fourth act.
Okay, fourth act. Oh, there's this
act,
final
act
bit.
Four.
Act four. More poo. Tired and sodden from their overnight ordeal, residents had to begin the awful task of throwing out their furniture and personal possessions. So there's that. It is kind of a rotten deal. My wife had a lot of family down in Katrina. They all live up here now, but it was bad, man. And it wasn't just water from the hurricane. It was like water from busted mains out. And it was so bad. Like water lines on people's houses up to the ceilings and just terrible. All right. Fourth act. Amish men on horseback busted for shooting a turtle. All right, so maybe the fourth act is a little non sequitur.
Okay. I don't know. Well, it may be non sequitur, but the headline definitely needs to be mulled over for a second. Amish men on horseback busted for shooting turtle.
Yeah. It's weird, right?
It really is a lot in eight words.
It's a lot to take in. As the kids say today. So let's see what it says. Two Amish men recently confessed to a shooting of a snapping turtle in rural Gladwin County. I assume that's Pennsylvania.
Yeah, probably.
According to a official report by the Michigan. Sorry.
Okay.
Oops. Is Michigan? I didn't know they had a lot of Amish and.
Well, they at least have two.
All right. According to an official report by the Michigan Department of Natural Resources, the incident occurred in mid to late June when Mark Papineau.
Sure.
Hey, look at me. A conservative officer, conservation officer.
Don't celebrate too quickly.
He's really into, you know, small government.
That's right.
That sort of thing.
No shiny objects.
No.
And small government.
That's right. A conservation officer in DNR District 5. Sounds like a space thing. Right. Investigated the report of a snapping turtle that appeared to have been killed by gunshot. The turtle's carcass, located in the middle of a gravel road in Gladwin County, had several spent .22 caliber rifle casings and a lead bullet fragment found around it, according to the report. Jeez. Neighbors reported hearing. I mean, these are like endangered 200-year-old, don't kill them things. Yeah. Neighbors reported hearing numerous gunshots, followed by seeing some Amish riding on horseback at around 4:30. It was time for milking. Just kidding, that really happened. The horse tracks were found in the area. C.O. Papineau followed the hoof prints to a large tract of land, which eventually led to two Amish men riding horseback with rifle scabbards secured to the horses. They were busted and they're in trouble. I don't know what you get fined for this sort of thing. Maybe it says here in the final part.
No, but I mean, they're armed for, you know, they're taking out some aggressions on a turtle, it sounds like.
What do you think? I mean, let's see. Oh, it says right here. Warrants are being sought for the illegal taking of a turtle. Illegal taking of a turtle during a closed session. Okay. That's weird. The District 5 also includes Akana, blah, blah, blah. I don't care about that. Yeah, there's no word on what you'd pay for this or if you'd go to jail or whatever. Mm-hmm. Oh, look, there's a turtle.
Oh, they have a picture.
Is that a live one, though?
Probably.
Yeah, that's not a bullet hole in its face. That's its mouth. I would have felt really bad.
That's mean-looking cuss.
Let me take a... Why is that in here? Hold on. Hold on, chat. I'm showing you the picture. Here you go. See this little nice turtle boy thing. Look at him. He's just chilling. Yeah. Don't shoot turtles. I don't care if you're Amish or not. Back in my day, we shot all the turtles, young man, brother. I don't know. That's not a voice.
Build a barn.
I mean, why do our Amish guys sound like Ronald Reagan?
I don't know.
Let's go build a barn. Nancy.
Well, I didn't bury that guy in the corn in my silo.
Nancy, it's 4:30. Go out and milk him. okay. Well, on that note, we're going to take a break. Let's take a break. Actually, we're a little early. You know what I want to do? I want to take a phone call from somebody.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, let me do this real fast. If anyone's in there waiting, I don't know if they will be or not. But I always like it when we have an excuse to do this. So I'm going to do this.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's pull this up here. Oh, we do have somebody in there. Let's see who this is. We have on the line with us Willy Wonka Stain. How do you say your name?
Willy Wonka's twin brother. It's actually Sam from Seattle.
Oh, hi, Sam from Seattle. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I just was watching the show. Just just enjoying it.
Yeah, having a good time. Seems like you're pretty chill absolutely. This morning and sitting back enjoying it. Where are you? At work? What are you doing?
In Seattle. I'm playing Binding of Isaac.
Ah, Binding of Isaac is a fine game. Are you playing? So which one? The one that's
got. Rebirth.
Okay, Rebirth's pretty good. Yeah.
The game is incredible. They really put a lot of improvements into it, and it's pretty great.
Are you bugged though that the game only lets you shoot 8 directions or whatever it is, or 4 or whatever it is? I forget now.
I mean, I think that's the that's part of the draw to it, right? It's tricky, you know.
Yeah,
it's hard, and I like the idea that it's a difficult game that you get to test your skill and race with people, and you know.
So those guys, not those guys, but one of the dudes that worked on that and also worked on Super Meat Boy came out with a new game called And The End Is Nigh.
I have not played it.
Highly recommend it. If you liked Meat Boy,
Meat Boy was a little too hard for me, honestly. I'm not gonna lie.
Well, I agree. I've never sworn louder than I did when I played Meat Boy. But if you want to, thing is pretty neat because it's got like, different mechanics and different ways of playing it instead of just run and jump. So anyway, there's our little recommendation. I'm glad we've had this time together. Do you have a question for us at all or anything today?
You know, I thought there might be a trivia show today, but I guess there's no dice.
No, we do it Mondays and Wednesdays.
Mondays and Wednesdays.
But since,
right,
you know what? But since you're here, hold on now. Brian's always got so much shit to give away. I've got stuff too. Hold on.
Cool. Yeah, I'm running out of stuff to give away.
I got a ton.
We need more donations from people for stuff that they don't want.
I'm gonna send you
cool toys and
yeah. I've got a load, so we can start digging through stuff.
All right, good.
I'm gonna send you a prize package of various delights. It'll be a mystery, though.
Oh, fantastic!
Cool. Yeah, so all you got to do so is either
you're getting a scoot crate,
exactly. Either private message me here on Discord where you're at right now, or send me an email, scott@frogpants.com. Either one, get me your address, and I will hook you up, brother.
Sounds like a deal, man.
Thanks, Sam.
Much.
Have a great one. We'll talk to you later, buddy. All right. See, that's fun.
Yeah,
it's fun to get to do that.
Totally is. I like that.
See, you guys, you never know if you're just hanging out in there, you might win a thing just because you're cool and you're just, you know. You're Sam. You're Sam playing Binding of Isaac Rebirth.
And you're, you know, tuning in. You're playing a game and you're winning stuff.
Right on, brother. Brother. Okay. Now let's take a break. It's time for music. And after that, we got Bill coming in doing his thing. We got Jury after that. So come on back. Before that, though, music, please.
Right. How about a band called Closeness?
Ooh.
This is from their brand new debut EP, which is called Personality Therapy. They released it in February of this year. Big thanks to Graveface Records. It's basically Todd Fink and his wife, Arenda. They met on tour, fell in love, and now in music. Closeness is the couple's first group together. It's the result of two incredibly talented musicians melding both in life and in art. This is the lead-off single from the EP. It's called More Romantic. Here is Closeness.
All right, we'll see you guys in a sec. Oh, I've got it backwards. Hold on.
Oh, did you have the other song?
Oh, no. The More Romantic is the right song, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Here it is. Here you go.
Everybody goes.
Well, there's nothing like a county fair to get you thirsty. And is the beer worth getting thirsty for? Budweiser. It has a taste, it has a drinkability, it has a smoothness that only Beechwood Aging can deliver. So, get thirsty. Budweiser's the best reason in the world to drink beer.
School time's over. Now, you die.
This is the Morning Stream. Hail Hydra!
We're back, everybody. Welcome back. That was cool. I'm going to get that all their music.
Yeah.
That's my
stuff. Closeness is the band. Personality Therapy EP is the, well, EP.
That is my that's my favorite kind of stuff. I just love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really good. Good. Or guild.
Real guild.
It's real guild, you guys. Real guild. All right. We're going to get Bill all up in this business.
All right. And, bring in some Bill.
I like some Bill. And here's the Bill. Whoop, that's not it.
Yeah.
There you go. Bill Duran. What's going on, buddy?
Morning, guys.
Hey, how are you?
Good morning.
I'm at
my house now.
How are you
back home?
For a change of pace.
How are you not in San Diego? Isn't that this week? What's going on there? You going to that?
I am not going to that this year. Taking a break.
Oh, wow. Look at you. Taking a break from Comic-Con, the world's largest comic convention in San Diego, California. You're taking a break.
Oh, dude, I don't blame you, man. I mean, first off, all the travel you've been doing, and then to like try and wedge Comic-Con, which is basically a sea of people. You just lift your feet and you just get carried along.
Yep, that's basically Comic-Con. It.
Yeah.
But I will still be at Dragon Con and BlizzCon, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not be crazy.
Yeah.
I'm still going to those.
plenty of cons. But let me ask you a question here before we get into what you brought today. Do you think that things have gotten to the point at Comic-Con that you'll see more people just like, ugh, I need to not go through that? There are plenty of other places for me to be. Now it's so much about Hall H and Hollywood and everything else that you can probably afford not to be there. Is there a general feeling like that going around? Because I'm hearing that from comic book people. I don't know about cosplayers and, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird because San Diego Comic-Con is still the place to go to announce new things, to have exclusive stuff. And it's close enough to L.A. that there's things there from Hollywood productions in person that you can't see anywhere else. So, for example, I went there a couple of years ago, and someone had rescued the set of the bridge for the Starship Enterprise from Next Generation.
Oh, wow.
That set was at Comic-Con. You could go sit in Picard's chair.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Actual chair, right? Like the one he had his butt in. Yeah.
Now, transporting that entire set from LA to San Diego, kind of a pain, but not as bad as trying to drag that thing to New York City.
Yeah.
So there's still something about San Diego Comic-Con that still maintains that exclusivity and sort of finger on the pulse of what's going on next.
Yeah.
That being said, you can also just watch Twitter and see like exclusive new trailer for the new whatever Marvel thing is going on, and people clamor into Hall H to watch it, and then like, also it's on YouTube later, you can just watch it then.
sure. Yeah, I wondered about that. Well,
you gotta balance like how many people you wanna shank to get a ticket, how many more people you wanna, you know, bump off to get a hotel room. Like, just, it's so hard just to get there and get in to see the thing, and we've just decided we're gonna sit it out this year.
All right, I understand completely. Well, I'm glad that you're here and that your mindset is a relaxed one, because whatever you brought today, I'm sure is gonna blow our minds. So, what do you got today? Yeah.
We put together our super cheap 3D printer.
Yay!
Oh, nice. This is This is like the $150, $149 or something like that. Yeah.
This was $165 including shipping.
Wow.
Okay.
And last week, Brittany and I fired up the old live stream camera and start to finish built the whole thing, put it all together right there on the old Twitch channel.
Yeah.
And it went okay. We actually recorded it. That video will be up later. A full 5.5 hours of video if you want to watch us struggle through that thing. But I'm also putting up a shortened recap version to just sort of, if you want to get the experience of putting together a cheap 3D printer and you don't want to sit through 5.5 hours, then you can go watch
it. Is it printing now then? You've got stuff coming out of it? Like making
it
things?
It is printing.
Wow.
All right. It went a lot better than I expected. I've never put something like that together. I was really kind of blown away about what you got for the price. Like, if I went and bought all those pieces individually, I could not source them for less money than that.
Yeah.
Wow. Kind of astonishing. Four stepper motors, the whole extruder assembly. The frame is all laser cut acrylic plastic, so it's a little wobbly. But yeah, it was kind of bonkers.
Yeah.
I will say the instructions were a little difficult to follow sometimes. Mm. They were definitely going for like that IKEA show don't tell style, but just not as good as IKEA. So sometimes it wasn't really clear on which screws to use where, but they gave you a lot of extra screws. we had handfuls of screws when we were done. They're like, do we need any of these? Turns out no.
Why so many? Like, they just give you extra in case or something?
I think screws are cheap and they're small and easy to lose. So
okay. Well, that makes sense, but if they don't tell you that's what they're doing, it's kind of... That always throws me, because I'm like, where are these supposed to go? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We sort of figured it out. But then the thing that was worrying to me was the electronic part of it. Because there's a heated bed, there's a heated nozzle, and then there are thermometers on each, or thermistors is what they're called for a printer. It's not a thermometer, everyone. It's a thermistor.
Thermistor? Thermistor. Sounds like a fake word. That's crazy.
I know, right?
Yeah. Thermistor.
There's this control board with about 1 million plugs that go into it, but everything was labeled really well.
Yeah.
And you just, it was almost completely plug and play. You're just like, oh, X thing. Yeah. X plug.
Sure.
Z plug two, Z plug one, Z plug two. I'm like, oh, cool.
Huh.
That went really well.
Yeah.
Now, even with all of that, though, I fully expected we'd plug this thing in, and which, by the way, that's how you turn it on. There is no power switch. Power switches cost money, so you just plug this thing into the wall.
That's the switch. You plug it in.
I plugged it into an a power strip that has a switch on it. That's my new on-off switch.
Yeah. All right.
I fully expected this thing would just wouldn't fire up, right? Because
yeah.
I just jammed all the wires in, plugged it in, turned on, and it was like, hey, ready to print, ready to go.
Did you have any, like, what was your plan if it didn't? Like, did the video have a plan B if at the end of all this work, it just crapped out on you?
I'd like to say I thought that far ahead, but I did not.
There's something very optimistic about that I respect. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was more just like plan B was me sitting there scratching my head going, I don't know why it's not working.
What a fun visual for plan B I have in my head now. That's great.
Makes for really, really compelling live stream content too.
So how's the quality of the prints? Like, all right. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, we will be putting it through his paces and trying to sort of tweak it. But I printed, I got a little boat. I don't know if you guys can see.
Yeah, a little tiny boat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I printed this out, and the fact that it printed at all is kind of astonishing that it finished. It's a little lumpy. So this is, it's all right. Kind of lumpy, though. And I think the main thing is that the frame is, like I said, just laser cut acrylic plastic. Mm-hmm. So it's a little wobbly.
Yeah.
It's got a little bit of a shimmy to it as it goes.
Yeah.
So there are things you can do. Now, I want to try and print a couple of things just with stock parts, right? Just to kind of see what we can accomplish with this thing out of the box. But something you can print with it is pieces to help improve the performance,
all right,
to help sort of stiffen up the frame.
Like printing things to fix the 3D printer.
Yes, exactly.
Nice. Okay.
And I kind of like that because we're trying to go as low budget as possible on this project. I kind of like that. I mean, this machine is designed to make things, so why not make things to make it a little bit better?
Yeah.
So that will probably get that good. At some point, we'll get to that. But right now, I'm just still kind of impressed that it printed anything.
Yeah.
Machine that I assembled that came out of the box for $165.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Considering what 3D printing is and where it's come and all that, to get what looks like a pretty quality, decent little boat print out of that, you know, I mean, that's kind of what you would buy a cheap printer for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you're not buying it to...
It's a little washed down on screen, but when you say it's lumpy, with like lots of ridges and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think just as it's, as the nozzle head is cruising along, if the frame flexes or bends at all, where it would make a straight line, it's just kind of wobbling.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that. Makes sense. All right. Well, so, I'm jazzed to hear how it went. Video, a big long video up now, and you'll do a summation soon. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are all going up on Friday.
Friday.
So
okay.
Should be fun.
So watch for that.
Yeah. I mean, the real takeaway is I don't really know much about putting these things together, and I was able to do it. So, and we did it. Although I was tempted to use a lot of the tools I had, I tried to do it with the tools that came with the machine. So yeah, if you're thinking about jumping into these things and trying out for yourself and you only got, you know, a couple $100 to spend, give it a go. Like, what's the worst that could happen?
Yeah, it's a lumpy boat. It's the worst you could do.
For under $200, that's a pretty nice looking little 3D print. So
yeah, for sure.
Lumpy boat and all. Hey, chat room suggests that fake screws are fake news. That's pretty good. You always come to us also with a recommendation. What would it be this week?
This guy, posting the link in the old chat there. This is a YouTuber named Cosplay Chris. He's an Australian man.
Ooh.
The link I sent you there is a Wonder Woman shield makeover. So he bought a toy Wonder Woman shield and then sort of spruced it up a bit. But he's got a bunch of other cosplay stuff, a lot of custom collectible things. Something those in the chat who might be into like collectible figures and stuff, he's got a few videos where he'll like repaint and refinish figures to make them look really cool. So
look at
yeah
that.
In the video there, he's got some Ninja Turtles in the background. Those look awesome.
Yeah
no kidding.
He's dreamy too. He's handsome.
No kidding. It's too bad he's so good looking and Australian. I'm sure some of these 34,580 views are not from women who are just watching him to just
He's a good looking dude. What's going on with Australia? Australia and their men, man. What the heck?
And their women.
And their women, yeah. Just a bunch of handsome bastards. All right. Well, that's cool. Again, that's Cosplay Chris. Great name.
Yeah.
Cosplay Chris.
Yeah. I'm going to jump in and see how this thing looks. Hold on a second here. Let's see. Okay. Oh, look. He's painting on some kind of thick unit deal there. Okay. Oh, doing some detail work. Oh, this is nice. And now he's outside. Yeah, he's outside deflecting things like a real Amazon man. Oh, and he's just too handsome.
Oh, wow. Even the inside he did, like the parts you don't necessarily see, like looks like hammered metal. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He's also doing some posing with it in a yard that would be really funny if you weren't seeing it from this angle. If you were watching it from the neighbor's yard, you'd think your neighbor was crazy.
I think my neighbors think I'm crazy because I do that stuff in my backyard.
Yeah, I'll bet you do. Anyway, check that out. Bill Duran, glad you're getting a little break from the con season, and hope you have a great week. And then, you know, next week we'll do this again and see what you have up your sleeve then.
It's all right.
Bill Duran Chinbeard on Twitter, punishprops.com. Take it easy. We'll see you later. Oh, and apparently he's in an episode of the Modern Rogue with Schwid and those guys.
Oh, right.
I haven't seen it.
Because when he was out there last week.
Yeah, I filmed it, I guess. So it's something to check out and look at and see. Poke around at. A reminder at this stage of the show, right before we had Jury, that we are attempting to get our Patreon up to the point we can have a monthly show about trivia.
Trivia competition, yeah.
Yeah, and Brian's like the lord of this, so we're not talking about some silly, like, three questions.
This is going to be the business, man. You know, it's going to be some heavy duty stuff with prizes, and you come in, you call in, and you play with Frog Pants producers like Jury's coming up, Bill, who you just heard, Tom Merritt, Nicole, everybody.
Yep. We probably even get Veronica in here occasionally. Here's the thing, though. We got to get to this next goal. So check it out. You can find it over at patreon.com/TMS. All the details are there. And thank you, everybody who's either up their pledges or decided to pledge for the first time. Getting us there will be rad, and we are super stoked about it. So do it. Okay. Justin Robert Young is swinging in like a monkey on crack. Whoop, my camera went all bright white. Why? Sometimes it does that because Skype's trying to borrow the connection.
Oh, yeah, there it is right there.
Oh, we get some sort
I'm gonna
of
guess that I'm going to guess that Justin's using XSplit.
Yeah, I think he's using XSplit Broadcaster because we have a giant.
Yeah, image. No, I logged out of. Hey, can you guys hear me?
We sure can. How are you?
All right, hold on. Let me see if I can get a XSplit working.
No worries. I'm gonna play this while you do that.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Fiddling with his settings and making a pretty picture for all to behold. Justin Robert Young on the line. So, what's is XSplit being dumb? Is it giving you a hard time there? What's going on?
Yeah, XSplit is being dumb. But hopefully, oh no, wait, we can.
Do I hear a
upgrade it?
Oh, do I hear?
Is that a Schwood?
No, he must be in.
Yeah,
he must
no,
be in
Brian's
Texas.
Here.
No, you're in Texas then. Or is he in Oakland?
It sounds like you're recording. How many shows are you recording right now?
Yeah, you got like five or six at the same time, or.
Yeah, no, we're trying to knock out all of them at once. We're gonna do Jury and Night Attack and politics and Scam School and Modern Rogue, all of it on one thing.
Yeah, do a weird things, which really is this is the weird thing. So that's just the podcast taking care of itself. I like it. Well, no worries. Yeah, I know you're in Texas, so hey, maybe it's just your voice today. I don't know.
There we go. All right. Hey, hold on, wait. Brian.
Oh, hey, there we go. Look, I'm even on mic now.
Oh, hello, Mike, man.
Well, hello, Brian.
Hi, Brian Brushwood.
Yeah, I don't quite know how to.
Go up there, click on tools, and then you'll click on video, and you'll select the webcam. Because right now, we had it all set up, but I was logged in on the Night Attack account, but then switching makes it all screwed.
It's all good.
I don't know if you guys know this, but this is live. We're actually doing the show right now. This is how
we roll.
You know, setup.
Yeah, we
time.
Can listen.
Is,
we're fine with it. Hey, Josh Wood, how good was Apes War for the Planet of the Apes? That was a good movie, yeah.
Oh my God! It's the moment it finished, I tweeted out my hot take, which was it's the good news is that The Dark Tower still has the chance to be the third best Western of 2017.
Yeah.
Which again is I nobody wants The Dark Tower to be better than me, but. After following on the heels of Logan and War of the Planet of the Apes, it's a good time for classic, you know, cowboys and Indians tales.
I agree, and I should have mentioned this yesterday in my kind of mini review that there is very much the Western template is in full effect for this Apes movie, and you may not recognize it right away, but that's kind of the point. Like it's almost like the best Marvel movies are genre films. Well, guess what? This really good Apes movie is a freaking Western, and it's. A really good Western with all the tropes you want out of that, plus some pretty seamless tech. It blew my mind. So is it? You know, so while you guys are figuring this out, my other question to you would be this: does this finally, can we just do it? Since it's the third in a trilogy, and for other reasons I won't say for spoiler reasons, but can we just give Andy Serkis a freaking Oscar now? He deserves it.
This has been my thing, and Brian actually gave me pushback on this. My whole thing is that Andy Serkis needs to be recognized as a transitional, important actor of his generation. Not only is he going to retire with like maybe the greatest box office resume of all time, but specifically with the Apes movies, which he's carried, like nobody's realized they've made two sequels to a reboot of the Planet of the Apes movies with no other actor being in all three of them and him being the only one playing three very different roles.
Yep.
To carry all of it through.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. It's something else. And it's not just that, like, especially this particular film, they've gotten the tech so close to matching his performance. So what you're basically looking at is like a million other performers before him, a great actor, who's got makeup on. It happens to be digital makeup, but that's really where we're at now, is it's makeup. And no longer should that be seen, in my opinion, as some weird barrier to entry for the higher echelon of awards winning. He needs to be nominated at the very least.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, why is it that everybody freaked out when Avatar happened and they're like, oh no, this is going to replace everything. We got to punish Avatar. We can't give it too many awards. Sure, it made all the money, but we can't do it. And it's like, oh, wait a minute, hold on. You mean this kind of you know, CGI and motion capture can keep all of us 30 years younger than we really are forever?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, wait a minute, hold on. Maybe there is something to this mocap.
Yeah, that's my Modern Rogue 2050. That's what we're looking at right there.
Yeah, right. Well, and we were talking about this. It's possible, and none of us know the behind the scenes on all these long-term Disney deals or whatever, but I can imagine a conversation in which they build a contract with Robert Downey Jr., just assuming that technology that does not exist today will allow him to continue to be able to perform 5 years, 10 years, 15, 30, 40, a billion. Like at some point, you have immortal versions of your actors.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. I mean,
I'd love to see the writers too. They're gonna say, okay, I won't do, you know, you can't make my dude do nudity.
Yeah,
he can't do you know.
Yeah. Or if he does have to do nudity, he has to appear this well endowed.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but there's all kinds of options.
I mean, that's the thing. I think that all these guys will continue to act. They'll just look younger doing it.
Yeah.
You know, and instead of it being a makeup thing, it'll just be a CGI thing. I mean, it's just getting so good in the little details. And also, what we really haven't seen yet is a lot of that very subtle CGI making its way to independent movies in the same way that After Effects really revolutionized what you could do with an independent movie. Because all of a sudden it became very commoditized.
I would say the closest, and it's far from an independent movie, but the new Pee-wee movie, like it was a decision by the writers that the actor Paul Reubens will age, but the character Pee-wee does not, and so they digitally youngified him the entire movie long.
Yeah, which looked real good. And moreover, to my original point, there are a bunch of mocap, excellent motion capture, performance capture actors who work in all kinds of other movies and products and video games where their performances are captured because they're good at it. And they're all up in this Apes movie. It isn't just Andy Serkis. But like any movie that is full of actors and one is a standout, that's Andy Serkis in this. And not just because he's the main character, but because he just embodies and emotes and does things like he's been doing since Gollum. Like, this isn't new for him.
He's done it for three movies. Yeah. I mean, like, this should not be a surprise. This is the second time he's done at least a trilogy, right? With the same character in each one.
Yeah.
He's he did what? Was Gollum in all three of the Hobbit movies too?
At least two.
Not in the Hobbit movies. Yeah.
Just the one, two, right?
Oh, just the one. Maybe appearance in the second one, but I think just maybe the first one. Now that I think about it. Yeah.
So I mean, like he has owned the role of Caesar. Caesar was the best part of the first one. He was the glue that brought all the stories together for the second one. I haven't seen the third one, but it seems like it's the same thing. So anyway,
and we're gonna see,
is a star.
Yeah,
we're gonna see more of Snoke in the upcoming Star Wars films, I'm sure. So.
Sure. Yeah, that guy's a freaking genius. So I'm just saying,
they'll just flash back when they show that he's Mace Windu. Spoiler.
Oh, I like that theory. That's a good one. The only theory I ever heard was that he might be
Jar Jar.
No, freaking what's his name?
And also, don't lie to your audience. That's not a good theory.
No, it's a bad theory. It's a bad theory. I hadn't heard that one. But the one I heard, but like, there are people who genuinely believe that he is Tarkin, Grand Moff Tarkin, because there's bone structure similarities and like head shape similarities. And somebody did some like chart where they're cheekbones are exactly aligned and all this. And
I'll tell you what, that'd be great because I would love to see just a full 30-minute flashback of CGI Grand Moff Tarkin again, because that was so great and everybody loved that so much.
I mean, I swear, I'm so over any worship of those first three movies. I don't want to see anything go back to them anymore. I'm ready for new worlds, new horizons, new everything.
Yeah.
If it's Grand Moff Tarkin, I'm out. I'm full on.
Yeah, I'm with you.
At least with the solo Han Solo movie.
Yeah, you might get
part of my redundancy.
Sure,
we're gonna at least get some sort of prequel, or not prequel, but original trilogy love.
Now,
are we done? They're loved.
Here's how
they're
we got the Millennium Falcon.
They're the most loved trilogy of all time. We have worshipped at their altar forever. Is there anything? The coolest part about Han Solo when you first meet him is like, man, this guy has seen some stuff. This guy has been around. I don't know whether or not we can trust him. And yet there's a glimmer in his eye that I feel like it's worth rolling the dice. And so that movie that comes out, I'm sure will just be all, it'll be nothing but the Kessel Run. And it'll be a 40-minute slow motion, him winning the Millennium Falcon. And it'll all just be references. And it'll zoom in on Blue Milk for another 30 minutes.
We are entering that phase of Star Wars skepticism. There's no question in my mind. Like we are actually there.
It's not skepticism. It's hope. Rebellions are built on hope.
It's a new hope. It's a new hope.
I think it is skepticism because I am becoming skeptical. Like when Disney bought the Lucasfilm everything, I thought, wow, look at what Disney's already done for the Marvel universe. The Marvel universe is big and wonderful and robust, and there's a billion fascinating corners to peek around in it. Surely they'll do that with Star Wars, and instead we've gotten nothing but tributes to the original movies.
It's the difference between Kathleen Kennedy and Kevin Feige, though. Like, Kevin Feige runs Marvel.
Yeah.
And Kevin Feige is constantly looking to give us new things. Like, oh, do you like Iron Man? Awesome. So if Kathleen Kennedy was running Marvel, we would be getting the third prequel to Jeff Bridges' Ironmonger character. But it used to be good.
Yeah.
This is all a really good point. I actually agree with that. And I guess I would say, in Kathleen Kennedy's defense, not that she needs defending, but she's doing what is probably the safest financial decision in Star Wars specifically. Marvel, a lot of the stuff people just don't know. So when you say Guardians of the Galaxy, people go, well, who the hell's that? And then you blow our minds, and then you keep building. She's like, oh, we can't. It's Star Wars, you guys. We're talking decades and decades of expectation. We can't deviate from the template. Not even George Lucas could do it successfully.
I'm with you on Episode 7. Episode 7 is not so much a movie as it is
a press release,
a business, a press deck that you are sending out to the world and saying, "Don't worry, it's still Star Wars. Let's just not screw it up.
Yeah.
Let's settle for, you know, ground rule double. We'll get in our wins where we can with our casting and our characters, and we'll set up these characters that are rich and dynamic and people can plug into." I don't want to get into the whole Rogue One thing, but that to me was the sign that, like, no, you want to know what? They don't want to give us a rad Thrawn movie. And it doesn't have to be Thrawn, but you could just do a movie where after the Empire falls, in this span of time, here's a military naval story about a rogue former Empire captain.
Well, and that's the thing, is they have such a robust, interconnected set of stories in the Star Wars Expanded Universe, which we talked about the brief mourning period that I went through when I was like, why'd you gotta wipe away the validity of all the books? But the good news of that is they can pick from any of those stories.
Yeah.
And so here we are 3 movies later, and I'm like, please, just pick from any of the books. There's really good stories in the books, guys.
Yeah, they totally could. And also, a lesson from the Apes movie, the reason it works so well and the reason Rogue One's CGI stuff did not, CGI Tarkin and so on, is that they, for whatever reason, the Apes movie, performance has met technology in a place where I didn't think about it the entire film. Even the first two movies, there were moments you're like, oh yeah, well, that's obviously, that can't be real, so that's a CGI thing happening or whatever. In this third movie, it is so seamless and so fringeless that you just don't think about it anymore. You're no longer thinking about it. You're just concerned about the apes. You're concerned about them as characters, and you're seeing them do things, but never once am I going, ah, freaking computer ape just did a thing. It was more like actual ape did a thing, and I'm all in. The parking my brain at the door thing was easy with this third movie. With Star Wars, as much as I was okay with Rogue One, we've been through this 1,000 times, so we don't have to bring it up again, but
yeah,
there is that disconnect, and the technology did not meet the performance. So I feel like the bar is raised, and that's raised for everybody, including Star Wars. If they want to move forward and do it in special ways, I don't want to give too much cinematic credit to the Planet of the Apes reboot, but my gosh, I don't know if it's Matt Reeves. I don't know if it's all these people behind the scenes. I don't know if it's just what it is, but they have raised that bar, and now everybody else is going to have to figure out a way over it.
You know, it might be, and just try this on for size. This is a counter theory that I'm not totally married to, but it could be that Avatar and Planet of the Apes both benefit from being at the right spot of the uncanny valley. Like, by which I mean, I do not have a perfect map of what the face of the average ape looks like. So whatever they got wrong, whatever was slightly off, I would never see. And they certainly don't have that for the Na'vi. But for humans, it's very easy to catch how plastic the face looks and the lack of wrinkles and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, I think that's actually a really good point. In fact, I might be married to that idea, because it's smart. It's like video games that go for ultra realism and then they just don't hold up. They look like crap 3 years later, versus games that go for stylistic choices in their animation or in their quality of character models or whatever. they hold up long time, well after. World of Warcraft's a great example. The game's old as shit, and it's still, you look at it and go, oh, I love the way this is made, and that character's so great. And well, why? Because they went for this other layer, and the apes and the Na'vi, they kind of fit that weird stylistic choice so that you can get away with way more. I think that's dead on, dude. I think that's exactly it. All hail and credit to Brian Brushwood of Austin, Texas.
There we go. The mayor of the Uncanny Valley.
You've done it.
I'm like, your theory is fixed now, good sirs. Ah! And he flies into the sun.
Yes. So anyway, to the point, Justin, what are you doing down there? You guys having fun just filming things and doing things?
There's no fun being had. Brian and I are miserable. In a death feud.
He walks in and we both greet each other with our customary frown and nod.
Exactly.
we fixed a fence and lost a wager together.
Yeah. We bet an old drifter that we could flip a coin the same way six times.
We're going to go watch a legislation get made at the Capitol later today. It's going to be a blast.
Yeah.
Well, miserable.
I think I can speak for Brian. We're always waiting for the sequel to the big fight of 2012 or whatever it was. So,
jeez.
Yeah.
We were talking about that.
Wow. We were.
We're talking about how the show, Night Attack is a bit like the Never Ending Story in that
I'm Atreyu and Brian's Falcor.
Yes. Well, that and the fact that other podcasts are safe.
Yes.
This one, you never quite know where it's going to go.
At some point, we're going to yell at each other again. I think that was a very specific boiling over of a lot of very specific stress that yeah. I don't know. I don't know if we'll ever see. It's like a volcano, you know? I don't think for another couple hundred years we'll see any kind of activity.
Yeah.
We're all just going to ignore the super volcano under Wyoming and Night Attack.
Exactly. I'm down here doing press for Action News.
Oh, very nice.
Cool. There's a bunch of podcasts in Austin that are friendly to us and yet have separate audiences. And that's really what I'm kind of looking to do, is just sort of get out of our bubble a little bit. And so going on the Junk Food Cinema, which is hosted by C. Robert Cargill, the writer of Doctor Strange and friend of ours,
Brian Salisbury as well. I just did an appearance on there. It was a total blast. We all watched RoboCop and talked through just how well it holds up over all the years. But you're doing, you said, which ones?
Well, Running Man and The Spy Who Loved Me. But I'll tell you what, I'm really glad that I feel like it's going to be a package deal, the RoboCop and Running Man movies, because they are so, like, they're similar yet very, very different. Yeah. in terms of how they present their dystopian world.
Yeah. I'd be very interested in how that goes. We did two of those movies for FilmSack, and they were two of my favorites that we did. Like, I loved our Running Man and RoboCop ones, Brian. They were
the best part at RoboCop is there's this moment when Omni Consumer Products, dude gets up and starts giving a presentation and says, we've ventured into areas everyone agreed no non-governmental corporation belongs. And then he goes on to list all stuff that's actually come to pass. Like, at the time, you could tell, you know, space travel, hospitals, prisons. Like, as if
these things will never. Yeah.
That crazy future.
Yeah. And we're kind of there. It happens now, at least in some degree. But yeah.
Okay, well, that's awesome. I'm doing Double Toasted on Sunday. I'm going to be on their Sunday service, and then I'm going to the Daily Dot. And then hopefully, if Dan Benjamin gets back to me, I can do.
Totally get over the 5x5 over there. Also,
no, I'm talking to him. We're talking. We're figuring it out. I just need to know exactly where my services are best rendered for the great House Benjamin.
So are you doing any kind of, are there any presence for the game at Comic-Con? Is there going to have anybody there with playtests or anything like that going on this week?
Unless there's somebody I know that has a copy at Comic-Con, but
it's possible.
Dragon Con, for sure. Although the Kickstarter will be over by then. But everybody can go check it out. Here, let me.
Have you had a chance to play it, Brian or Scott?
Yeah, we played. Well, Brian, did you play it at Nerdtacular?
No, I wish I had time to play it at Nerdtacular. I was hoping to, but I've pledged. I've got a copy coming.
Yeah,
so
I played it with Jury and a group for a round or two, and I loved what I played. So I'm super stoked for the game. I think it's going to be great.
What I like about it is, I don't know if we've talked about this nuts and bolts stuff, but the contender heavily rewarded the extrovert of any group, because if you could sell just three random cards with your performance, then you were the winner.
Yeah.
Whereas Action News, by the fact that it's got this writing period baked into it, yeah. right? As a result, I lost every single round I played, because even though I was able to string everything together real smoothly, Penny was funnier, Bonnier was funnier. Mm-hmm. Like they put more time investing in the quiet time to figure out a way to create a surprising result.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what we really wanted to do. And it's certainly something that I think rewards those that think a little bit more than just being a ham. It's funny because like the ham games are the ones I'm good at, because I'm good at being a ham. And yet I feel like every game I design is just trying to punish me more and more to make me never win one of my own games ever. Yeah. Although I do want to point out, thank you to everybody who has already backed. We just hit our end of Beatlemania stretch goal. So we have 775 backers. That means that is now unlocked. You indeed have given us your money, as the Beatles sang in Abbey Road, which is what the card is about. But now at 790 backers, the new unlock is heiress Patty Hearst being arrested for the Liberation Army in right. San Francisco. One of the most famous, wildest stories. And this is really what I love the most.
Stockholm Syndrome thing, yeah.
Exactly. Well, I mean, and the question is exactly how much Stockholm Syndrome there was.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Right.
At a certain point.
Measurable amounts. You know what I actually really like about this game? It's had a weird effect on me just from afar. And I have a sample game here, so I've gone through it and stuff. It's a nice reminder that the news has always been filled with weird shit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like today, it's so easy in today's climate to go, oh, it's falling apart, blah, 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 or whatever. The only real difference between then and now is the internet. Outside of that, it's the same stuff. It's shark attacks.
Michael Crichton had the best summary. He said, because he researches old disasters used to, but he's dead now, but he would research old stuff.
Didn't see that one coming, huh?
He would research.
Looks like life found a way.
Yeah. He said, there's nothing more sobering than reading a 20-year-old headline. Like, if you yes. look at the front page of a newspaper, all these names that you have no idea, and the front page headline is about a thing, you're like, wait, what was that? What, mm-hmm. what were we
Dude,
even worried
all right.
about?
So dig this. And so because these unlocks on the news cards have gone so well, like, I've had to actually start writing new news cards because we got to feature them. And I found a news card or a news story that blew my mind, and yeah. I'm curious if any of you, and including in the chat room, know the story of the USS Pueblo.
No, I don't.
The only USS I know is the USS Cole was the one that was blown up by Osama bin Laden.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Pueblo.
Ironically, or not ironically, but fun fact on the USS Cole, that when it was being dragged into the harbor for repairs,
yeah.
they were playing Kid Rock's American Badass.
Wow.
That's the only thing. That's my only fun fact about
the
USS
I was all
Cole.
Set to question whether or not that fact was fun. That's a very fun fact.
That's a very fun fact.
That is the funnest fact.
The funnest fact about the USS Cole. All right. So here, LCN Knight knows it. Former Navy. I know it. Dig this. I believe it was in 1961. North Korea. And this is at a time when Cold War is still a thing. There is a Soviet superpower, and China and North Korea are friendly to it. USS Pueblo was an intelligence vessel that was off the coast of North Korea.
All right.
North Korea captured it. Eventually, the crew wound up getting beaten, tortured, and eventually released. But it right now is not only still commissioned as a USS naval vessel, it is the only a United States naval vessel that is still in active duty, quote unquote, and yet is captured by another wow. country. And it is used as a museum in Pyongyang, North Korea, to show how badass North Korea is that they ganked this off
like
the
United States. Basically a big trophy that they've got mounted on there.
And oh. I had never, ever, ever heard of it until I started researching these new cards. And talk about getting thrown down the memory hole. Just insane.
Yeah. I think this is a healthy exercise. I think people would benefit from this sort of thing. So who knew that your goofball game would also educate us?
Oh yeah. So yeah, I mean we have a bunch of really cool unlocks coming up. Of course, Patty Hearst, the Tiananmen Square protest, the Million Man March, and then I think we're gonna start. Is Y2K already in there? Y2K is not in there yet.
Ooh, get that in there.
I think. Well, maybe it was in there. I don't know. I have to look at my new news card deck. I also need to start writing the new news cards, which is another fun thing I need to do while I'm selling this game. But yeah. Go ahead and check it out. It really, to be totally honest with you, if I could do the Kickstarter campaign over again, and this is hindsight being 2020, I would have made this the game for history buffs, and I would have put that way out on Main Street. Is like exactly what you're saying, is that it's so weird to look back and you know, the fact that we have a card in there now about the Britain reaffirming their need to stay in the European common market, right? Yep. And that at that time that was all right, we're done. Yep. Britain's forever a part of Europe, and now that is not the case. It's so weird to look back in history and see what's crazy and what's not.
It almost becomes like a game themed around Today I Learned, like TIL, the game.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, it's too bad. Boy, if you would have thought about marketing that, then we wouldn't have had those tense 3 hours where we were waiting for it to fund. It might have funded in 2.5 hours.
I know.
We could have saved so much of that precious worrying time.
That's a good point. But I know what you're saying, and like a lot of things, you don't know until you're done, and then you're like, oh. That's the impact it's having, or whatever, and that's you know.
I guess it's obviously we are over the moon and thrilled with how it is doing, and you know, this time, no matter how much less it makes than the contender, we're actually going to make money as opposed to spending $40,000 extra that we don't have.
Yeah.
So we are thrilled with it, but it is definitely something that I think people can get a lot out of, and for whatever reason, man. Who would have called it? But apparently I have a knack for creating games that like educators really like, because we continue to get a great reaction from the contender. And I think that this one will probably be even more so, something that people will want for like social studies classes and American history classes and stuff like that.
Well, I agree. Go get it now or be a part of the Kickstarter. ActionNewsGame.com is where to go. Justin and Schwood, it's been a pleasure talking to you guys today. Anything else you'd like to mention before we cut out of here?
Tell me if you see my face on a billboard.
Oh, I did. It's all the rage here in the Johnson House. Everybody's seen it now. Yeah. Wait,
you've seen it in person?
Oh, yeah. It's just down. It's just, if you drive towards Salt Lake, it's just off to the right on I-15. It's like right here in town.
So it's one of those that like that flips, right?
Right. It's a digital billboard.
It's a digital
billboard. But you are the only one for that. No, I think there's several, right? Because it's all for CVS.
It rotated. It rotated out two or three of them, I think, or something. But we saw yours.
No, what is the wait time for seeing Brian's goofy face on a billboard?
That's a good question.
I just want to know.
How long do you have to park your butt there until you?
Because I would
guarantee.
Love to do that. I would. That would be great.
Where it's in, someone in the chat's asking, where is it? It's down. It's in Salt Lake. Probably between. I'm trying to remember now. It was between 53rd and I-80. You'll know what that is. Anyway,
they said there's 20 locations and it's in rotation. I think at any given time they have like, you know, five that they cycle through.
So
if you drive from one side of the town to the other, apparently right now there's a chance you'll see.
Okay. So maybe in way more places than the one we saw. We assumed that was the only one, but maybe there's way more. So that's cool. Yeah. Next time I'm in front of it though, I'll see if I can't figure out what the rotation is. We'll pull off.
Grab that video. Grab that picture. Send it to me.
Yeah, we got to do that. You look good up there. Well done. It's good to talk to you both. It is Justin R. Young on Twitter, Schwood on Twitter, and Night Attack tonight live from.
And actually we're gonna do Jury right after this.
Lovely. Just roll right in. Yeah. Excellent. You guys take it easy. We'll talk to you both soon. Stay out of trouble. Eat your vegetables. have regular poo. All right. What are we doing now?
Yes. That comes with the regular eat your vegetables.
Does it comes with a regular poo? All right, great.
Eat that roughage.
Then you ain't got trubbage.
So basically, I have to compete now with the Jury Show with the decent cover, is what you're saying.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, look at it that way.
Great.
Good luck on that. In the meantime, don't forget to check us out at patreon.com/TMS, frogpants.com/TMS. You will find links to everything we do and have and do and deal and have right there. So check us out. Email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. Find Brian and I on Twitter at Coverville for Brian, at Scott Johnson for me, and the show at Morning Stream. We will now leave you with music, please.
That's right. Didn't have a request lined up for today, so I'm bringing in one of my own. And it's somebody I'm going to be seeing in about a week in concert. Going to this 80s regroup concert, or, you know, Where Are They Now concert with Modern English and English Beat and Howard Jones and Paul Young and bunch of people, including Katrina Leskinich. Now, you know her better as Katrina of Katrina and the Waves. She won't have the waves with her, so she'll be performing waveless.
Okay.
But what's funny is when she came out with the song Walking on Sunshine, there were people out there who said, God, that beat sounds familiar. Sounds a lot like the song Hitsville, UK by The Clash. Or I don't know, maybe they came out around the same time. I'm trying to remember when Sandinista came out. It was early 80s, so maybe they came out around the same time. Anyway, the beats are the same. It's got that same do. So it seemed like a natural choice for her to cover this. In 2007, the Sandinista Project came out, where they covered all both the double disc album from The Clash, the Sandinista album, which is my favorite Clash album of all time. It's so good.
Yeah.
So good. Pick it up. Katrina covered this song right here, Hitsville, UK, and she didn't keep it under the required 2:59. Here is Hitsville, UK by Katrina.
They cried the tears, they shed the fears. Slightest hope of a
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Comedy, I don't get it.